The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
What I want to talk about now, though, is Oberstown, the children's detention campus, because concerns have been raised there about staffing issues over the last few months. And it's also been revealed that at times there's not enough beds for referrals from the children's court. So our reporter, Josh Crosby, has been looking into this whole issue for us. He went inside the institution itself.
I'll just show you this screen visiting room. This is to do with risk and how well we know families, how well we know young people. And the visits can happen 7 days a week, you know, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. broadly speaking. One of the key things around, you know, kids being away from their families is being able to continue to foster that relationship. Because if it just stops and doesn't re-emerge until they leave here, well, then there's a big gap developed, because our kids are going through adolescence, puberty, growth, all those formative years. And equally, there's stuff going on at home while they're away from them. So it's important that these conversations can take place.
And are there limitations on the visits?
We would encourage visits as regular as possible. And in times past, we've had to say to some parents, actually, you don't need to come up every day. He's okay. He's doing okay. We're conscious that this costs you time, effort and money, but he's doing okay. And then alternatively, there are some young people who may never get a physical visit. But in order to counterbalance that, then we have video visits allowed, you know, so kids can have as many video visits as they want per week.
Damien Hernan is the director of Oberstown Children Detention Campus. Damien started off working here as a PE teacher in 1991 and has seen many changes over the years. Today there is capacity for 40 males and 6 females. The number accommodated can fluctuate on a daily basis, but averages out at around 40. I sat down with Damien to find out the types of offences young people will have committed to be sentenced here.
Okay, so there's a broad range of crimes, from murder, attempted murder, rape, manslaughter, down to accumulative offences around car theft, robbery, etc. What we've seen in recent years is a bit of a spike in the young people accused of sexually harmful behaviour, and those assaults and offences at the higher end resulting in the death of people. They can present significant challenges. For a young person of 14 or 15 years to be handed down a 10-year or 12-year sentence, that takes an awful lot of minding from a young person's perspective, because you have to help them cope with that, you have to help them get through the couple of years here and then create that transition piece to prison. On average, maybe 10% of our kids transition to prison because of the length of detention order or the nature of the offence, so 90% of them head back out. The last 18 months we've been pretty full all the time.
As we walked through the campus, I met with some of the young guys taking part in the different classes, and I was introduced to those doing a barista course at the on-site coffee van by John Smith, who's the Activities and Vocational Training Coordinator.
We run 64 classes every evening, various types of classes from wood biography to wood technology, home economics, digital music, podcast productions. On the vocational end of that, we do safe pass, manual handling, HACCP, forklift training. I'm currently in the process of putting a bakery into the old school here that we'll be going through shortly.
So there's a range of programmes there, and over 60. So doing the maths, maybe some young people do more than one class an evening?
Most young people do four classes every evening.
Josh, we're here now in the actual garden itself, where the young people come and work on a daily basis after school and during the summer months then when there's no school. The training that's delivered here is a QQI Level 3 horticultural training programme. The kids that come out here, It's like a little bit of escapism from normality down around the units and stuff. And they always say, you know, they learn more up here emotionally than they do anywhere else, because they have time to have conversations with the people that work here. Huge therapeutic benefits. This kind of place is the quiet place. Like everywhere else on the campus, there's action all the time, there's movement. But when you're up here, it's like you're not in Oberstown. That's what the young people tell me.
Over the past few months, concerns were raised over staffing levels at Oberstown. However, the Children's Minister had to reject claims that levels were dangerously low. In a parliamentary response, figures showed one staff member left within 6 months of joining in 2025. To hear what is being done to recruit and retain staff, I asked Director Damien Hernan, who says they are managing, but there are current vacancies.
From a staffing perspective, we have a rolling campaign for residential social care workers at the minute. From a recruitment perspective, if we think about it, 25% of our staff have been recruited in the last 5 years. So that indicates that we can recruit staff. 36% of our staff, I think it is, have over 20 years' experience. In an environment like this, that's phenomenal in terms of retention rates and also in recruitment rates.
But you're in a comfortable, healthy position when it comes to staffing levels?
We're pretty comfortable, but we recognise that we always have to be looking for people to bring in, because that 36% at 20 years plus, some of them will be moving on shortly through retirement, through natural attrition and stuff like that. So we have to keep backfilling that.
There are different views on whether detention is an appropriate form of punishment for those under 18. Some say it can introduce young people to supports and structures. Others say the model is outdated. It was interesting to hear from the Activities and Vocational Training Coordinator John Smith about the positive outcomes he's seen from the programmes provided at Oberstown.
The vocational training is really, really important. Over the last number of years, you know, the success rate of young people actually going, leaving here, getting employment, it's absolutely huge compared to where it used to be. A lot of the time the kids don't know what they want when they come here.
They're the highs, I suppose, when you see the end result. There are lows too. It can be challenging at times.
It can be very challenging at times. I suppose one of the lows would be, you know, when somebody leaves here and in 6 months' time they're back again. Like, that can be challenging.
Is it difficult then to separate, I suppose, the professional role you have, but then maybe there's a natural instinct because these guys are young and you're the grown adult in the room, to try and separate that and make sure that there's a detachment there in a way?
Yeah, I know what you mean, but I think all the structures and programmes that are in place in Oberstown do that automatically. Although there's times when you have to say, hang on a second here. But for the most part, I would say, like, I'd rarely have to give out to somebody, you know.
But it's great that, as you said, you're walking down the street and you see someone that you've passed on some education.
Yeah, that's
education.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Demand for Oberstown services is leading to possibly more spaces being made available for boys at the campus. But is there a risk that a minor being detained can lead to an acceptance that criminal pathways are their future?
Ireland as a nation has a responsibility to do things differently, because the sins of the past aren't too far away. People who lived in institutions, the picture wasn't great, you know. So in terms of changing that picture, what we have here is a children's rights based model, so rights participative model, that's actually shifted how we look after young people in detention in Ireland. And yes, unfortunately, some of our young people will go on to spend time in prison, but the lessons that they've learned here, the qualifications that they've gained here, will be with them forever.
That is Josh Crosby reporting from Oberstown Children's Detention Campus. Damien Hernan wrapping up that report. And like I say, in the next hour, we're going to hear from a young man who has spent time there in Oberstown. Josh also caught up with him. Josh Crosby brought us a report from inside Oberstown Children's Detention Campus. I promised that we would hear from somebody who has spent time there. And Josh has sent us this report with a former inmate.
When I first went in, I was remanded, so I was saying, oh, how long am I going to be in here for? What's going to happen? I was just walking into a big black room and I didn't know what was happening. It was just scary. And I was only 15 at the time as well.
The big gates.
Yeah.
The doors.
Looks like Jurassic Park a bit.
Just one of the 120 young people who were in Oberstown Children Detention Campus last year. Now 17 years of age, he was 15 when he was sentenced to 11 months in 2023, but was released after 9. To understand what the services and conditions are like for children who are sent to Ireland's detention campus, we must first get a sense of how they ended up there.
At home and all, I never had a routine. I was getting up at 1 o'clock in the day, 2 o'clock in the day, going to bed at 6 in the morning, 7 in the morning.
Were you going to school much?
No, I wasn't going to school.
Were there a few interactions, a few dealings with the guards that led to this point?
Yeah, loads. Plenty.
And it was a build-up of these offences that eventually led to Oberstown. Could you give us an idea of the type or the area of offence that it might have been?
Just messing around the streets with all my mates.
And when you found out you were going to be going to Oberstown, that was different from the usual JLOs or...?
I didn't really know what to expect. I was just shocked. And when I heard that I was getting 11 months, I was very shocked at that as well.
When you realised this is happening, I'm actually going out to Oberstown, what was going through your mind, or what was the fear or the worry that day?
Probably about my nanny. I was mostly worried about my nanny because she was actually there in the court that day, and it was very hard to see her crying and all. And I started crying myself, to be honest, because it was very upsetting. And not being able to go on my phone, text my mates, text me girlfriend.
To try and help those who are close to being sent to Oberstown or are currently there and will either be coming home or transitioning to adult prison, there are a number of organisations working with the residents aged 10 to 18. One of those is the Solace Project, and Aina Rutherford is the team lead with its Compass programme. Aina explains the importance of preparing young people for what is to come next.
We run a transition programme, which is prepping young people who are about to move from Oberstown across to Weefield or Midlands Prison. It's a challenging programme because obviously they're moving from what is a really supportive by and large environment to prison environment, which is very, very different. So we try to do our best to prep them for what they're going to face when they're over there. We do pre-release programs for young people who are going to get out from Overtown into the community. We try prep them as best as we can, and then we link in with them in the community.
And then for those who, as you said at the start, who are transitioning into adult prison, like that's, I'm sure, a group you really want to catch, because the fear then of them getting lost or vulnerable, I suppose, in a way, if they're going in blind.
Yeah, absolutely. If I can be honest, though, there's so much more that needs to be done with that. We do the best we can in making them aware of some of the challenges, but it really is walking off the edge of a cliff. The difference in approach between how Oberstown goes about it and what's going on. Really, we're doing our best to prepare young people for a situation that they're going into that we know is going to really regress a lot of their development.
For many of the young people sent to Oberstown, a sense of structure and being given appropriate attention can be rare. So when they are introduced to programmes and education designed specifically for their needs, it can open up a world never seen before.
I enjoyed doing art. Art was probably one of my favourite classes.
And would you have ever done art before going in there?
No, because in my old school, you either had a choice to do woodwork or art, and I picked woodwork, so I didn't have the choice to do art.
Not even just being proud of doing the work, but did you find it relaxed you and you could kind of immerse yourself in it?
Yeah, doing art is very relaxing, very calming or something, just sitting there. I don't know, I'd sit there doing art all day, every day. But woodwork, I wouldn't be able to sit there for an hour doing it.
And it can take your mind off, I suppose, the other day-to-day pressures.
Yeah. Like, I had one staff in there that I really liked, and I got on with him, and that's what he kind of basically made me change my mind on what I was doing.
So when you went in there, you were still kind of thinking that once I get out of here, back doing what I'm doing. And what was it that he said or that he did for you that made...
I don't really know, but I'm very thankful that he did make me change my mind.
They say one teacher can make all the difference in someone's career path. But for those who are detained, this can often be the first time they've really interacted with education. Aina Rutherford from the Solace Project says the model of Oberstown has its benefits, but it's a shame that this can be the first time a child is given the targeted supports they need.
I think Oberstown shows what's possible when you wrap around young people with supports, particularly young people who are coming from environments and communities where they didn't have close to that level. So how do we take some of these really great programs that are being done in there and prep them for release? And I wouldn't put all that on Oberstown's shoulders, because there has to be, I think, a societal recognition that young people need to be prepped for release.
You're seeing the benefits. You're up there every week. But your own thoughts on this type of punishment, like detaining children and teenagers. This model, do you think it's going to continue in the way it is? Or?
It's a challenging one to answer, because on one level, the young people who go in here do really, really well. But can we not do it before they go there? We need the level of investment we're putting into young people in Oberstown to be done way in advance, way before that happens. With that, I don't think young people should be leaving Oberstown without being connected to a youth service or some level of community support. We just can't have young people coming off that cliff and then not being engaged with youth workers.
We know that there is demand for Oberstown services from the courts, and it's expected that increased capacity is on the way. But for a young man who spent time there, how is it shaping his maturing to adulthood? And what has he taken away from it as he moves on with his life?
I'm still in school at the minute, in the middle of doing my leaving cert. And then I'm looking at getting an apprenticeship as well.
In what?
Painting and decorating.
But it's difficult when you come out and you're still friends with the same friends.
Yeah, that was the hardest part, saying no to everyone. Like, that is one of the hardest things that anyone can ever do. It's because you're coming out to all the same friends and they're all still doing what I used to be doing and saying, oh, are you doing this? Are you doing that? And I used to be like, saying no. And it was very hard. And I just had to go and make new friends.
Looking back now, if there was one thing that you learned, what would it be?
They weren't really my real friends. All they wanted me to do was just go out with them and do what we were doing. They weren't my actual friends. They were just like me friends in crime, basically.
For anyone listening who might think that Oberstown mightn't be the correct type of punishment, would you say that it actually, in the long run, it helped you?
It helped me, but I think they should be harder. Most people, when they go in there, they're saying, oh, this is a hotel. And most people that are in care, it's basically like them just going to a new care home. Because the staff in there are like your family as well. Like, I used to call one of the staff my nanny. That's how like nice she was to me.
As you said, when they give you attention and they show you the right way, it can have major influence on your life now.
Yeah.
Well, onwards and upwards. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you to Josh Crosby for that report.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.